we hear?
Hey everyone, welcome back to Resistance Radio. It's episode 133. Hope you all enjoyed last week's show, because this week it's all about the D23 info. As always, I'm Mikey B, and I'm joined by my co-host, Danya. Hey, Danya.
Hello.
How are you doing? It's been a couple episodes.
It has. I am now fully on my East Coast / Pacific time schedule, so I'm basically up at all hours of the night now, so it's 1:30 a.m. for me, but it's now the end of my workday.
So. Which is great! So you can join us, we can record anytime now, since we're in the U.S. time. I love it.
Basically.
It's great. We also have Ben with us again this week. What's up, Ben?
Hello. What's up?
Shouldn't you say hello there?
Hello there.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute, won't we? And, oh wait, who is that cackling back there? That's not Jabba the Hutt. That is Dano! What's up, buddy?
Very close, though. Very close. How you guys doing?
Hey, I saw those pictures of you from D23. Like, honestly, like, I love the cosplay.
Oh, the Resistance pilot? Yeah, I'm pretty stoked on that.
It's pretty awesome. I love it. We'll talk more about that as we get into the stuff. And we have Gina. What's up, Gina?
Hey. It's been a while.
How are you doing? I know, it's been a while. It's been, like, what, 6 months or even longer?
Yeah, I saw you at Celebration. We hung out. I sang Baby Shark with your daughter. It was fun.
Yeah. Well, it's been a longer since you've been on the show, but yeah, we saw you at Celebration.
Well, yes,
I know.
Yes.
Yeah, Amelia enjoyed hanging out with you. She had fun. Anyway, if you want to get involved in the conversation, get a hold of us on Twitter at our radio podcast. Leave a comment on our Facebook. Send us an email through our website, or leave a comment on this post when it goes up on Hypeable.com. Actually, are there even comments still on Hypeable.com for the podcast page? I don't know. I've been saying it for 133 episodes. I don't even remember.
Done, you know? That's a good question. I don't think I've actually checked the podcast pages
if there is comments, leave one so I know. If not, like, ignore that and I will change it for next week, maybe. Anyway, today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/resistanceradio with over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Get the latest Star Wars audiobook for free, including Crash of Fate, which is what I'm listening to right now, which is a Batuu story. And then a new book just came out today. Dano, didn't you pick it up?
I did. I picked up Black Spire. And actually, yeah, it's funny, I listened to Crash of Fate on my way down to D23 this last weekend.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I was finishing up Alphabet Squadron and Thrawn before that, so I'm in Crash of Fate now. And then I also picked up Black Spire. I'm super excited to get into it. Just because that's got what's her name?
Vi Moradi.
Yeah, Vi Moradi. And honestly, she was an awesome character to see at Galaxy's Edge. So if you haven't gotten it, check out any of these books at audibletrial.com/resistanceradio. I love audiobooks. And Dano, obviously, he's driving from Vegas. He's got that 4-hour drive to Southern California. Yep. So they're perfect for that. Danya, Ben, do you guys listen to audiobooks? Jenna, no?
No Gina? Audiobooks for me. I find it really weird, like a really weird experience. I'm not, like, super into it, but I like listening to, like, podcasts that do, like, stories where they have, like, different voices for things. Like, I prefer that.
Ooh, what about, like, the Dooku, the audio drama?
Yeah, that one's probably like really that. Good.
Yeah, like, audio dramas and stuff I'm cool with. That's fine. Like, I just listened to a really good audio drama by Gimlet Studios called Two Princes, which was awesome. So I'm more into it if they have, like, a ton of sound effects and different voices and all sorts.
I feel like this is a hint. I feel she's like, hint, hint, nudge, nudge, make my job of editing each episode a lot more work. All right, insert sound of Falcon as we move into the news, everybody. Hey, so D23 was this week, and I know last episode me and Ben talked about all the stuff we expect. And Ben, can I say you and I were 100% spot on exactly what we were going to hear about?
Yeah, as usual.
We're pretty good. You guys don't see it, yeah, but right now I'm dusting off my shoulder that we were able to see exactly what we were going to get. There were some surprises, I'll be honest. There were some surprises. And I think if we start off, the first surprise was a bunch of information about Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser. So Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser is really interesting because they've given us finally enough information about it to tell you how this new Disneyland hotel is going to work. But I don't know if it's really a hotel. Based on all the information that's been released, it's a full immersive Star Wars hotel. You are required to book a two-night itinerary, so 3 days, 2 nights. So there's no single nights, no 3 nights on it. You'll board via a launch pod for transport into space, and there's pictures floating around, which looks like a modified bus where you sit all on one side, and there's screens showing you flying into space, going to the Halcyon starship that you're going to be on, which is a Chandrillan Star Cruiser, which is pretty cool. And you're going to be there for 2 days. And there's things that you can do, like learn how the ship works. You can make alliances. Honestly, I was telling you guys earlier that I feel like this is going to be like a cruise ship, but in space. What do you guys think about this?
It's like a space resort.
I'm okay with that.
I am too.
I think you're absolutely right. It is going to be like a cruise ship experience. And it just looks a lot of fun. Like, I was there to see it at D23. And see the actual display and, you know, the ship. And they have this cool, like, light effect that would scan the ship. And then it would center on one part. And then the side screens would show you the concept art of what, like, the lobby looked like. Or, you know, it was all of it. Like showing the launch pad, everything. And it looks like it's going to be a full cruise thing. Even with, like, a little gambling area, kind of. I don't know if it's going to be gambling for real money or credits or whatever. But it looks amazing.
Well, and you know what? In all honesty, you have to remember that like cruise ships actually do have like gambling and stuff like that because they're in the open seas and there's a, you know, there's not really laws out there on the high seas, so they can do gambling and stuff like that. The casino parts don't open till, you know, you're well onto the ship and everything. But I really just want me some space shuffleboard. I mean, like, I want to be like Hawaiian shirt, maybe an inflatable jetpack floaty. A la Jango Fett or something like that, and like some space shuffleboard cruising around. I think this is going to be the coolest thing ever. Now, I'm wondering if, like, when you book this, like, they're going to require you to book through something like a travel agent or something like that, or like Disney's Parks Travelers or something like that. And you'll
be just through Disney Parks website. I mean, there is a specific website for the Chandrillan Star Line now. I don't know if you got a chance to look at their official website, but it has all the concept artwork and a little bit more details than what they showed at D23.
Yeah, I saw that link too. I'm just wondering what they're going to do with it, because if you're going to Florida, like, I don't know anyone who's going to go for only 2 nights only. Like,
No. You know, I would think of this as like a supplement to your Disney World trip.
Yeah.
Like, you either plan this on the front of or at the end of your Disney World trip.
Well, I definitely can't wait for this to be completed. Did they announce when they have a estimated time of where they want this to be completed?
They didn't give an exact date, but when I was at the Galaxy's Edge sounds panel, it's like the music and sounds of Galaxy's Edge, they were talking about the music they're going to be using for this hotel, and the guy running the panel said, and we expect that next year. And then he quickly took it back and was like, I didn't say that. We can't confirm that. And then he took it back. So I don't know where he got that from, or if it was just the slip, you know, I don't know what it was. But Disney's official panel did not reveal it, but the music panel kind of hinted that it might be next year.
A little slip. You guys heard it first here from Dano. It's next year. And if he's wrong, you can blame him. He's at the Dano channel on YouTube, and you can leave angry comments there. But yeah, like, I think it's really cool, though. Like, the fact that they also let you do, like, the planet side excursions into Black Spire Outpost. I don't know. I feel like this, it's like cosplay, like, I guess it would be LARPing. Like, is that right?
Yeah. That's exactly what it would be.
So, LARPing. Any other thoughts, guys?
Gina? They did come out with news. It's not on their website, but I've seen a lot of outlets saying that it's $3,300 for the base cabin, which sleeps up to 5 people. So that is the base price for your 2 nights. It's 3 days and 2 nights for $3,300.
And that is, so that's room.
You pay for the room and you can put up to 5 people in there.
Perfect. So you can split that between 5 people.
Okay. Exactly.
So what was it again?
Know when you guys want to go, $3,300. We should all book a big thing together. Split it five ways.
That's only $660 per person. Like,
oh, that is not bad.
Yeah. Well, but in all honesty, though, if you were to stay at, like, you know, I'm actually going to Disney World come January, February. So I'm going to go. My daughter's all about Disney Mickey right now, and she's actually seen every Star Wars movie minus Rogue One and Solo so far now, and she's all about BB-8. So we're going to go back to Disney World now that she's older. So she's never been to Disney World. She's been to Disneyland, but she's never been to Disney World just because she's going to have a ball there taking pictures with the characters and everything. But, you know, we're looking at, like, the hotels there, and they're super expensive. Like, the Polynesian, like, honestly, for 3 days...
Like, $400 a night anyways.
Yeah, so it's not going to be that much more than any of the nicer ones there. And this is for five people. And even if you look at, like, the cabins, like, it looks like it'll be easy to have multiple people stay that aren't, like... Because, like, the bunk beds just look really cool. Like, they look like something you saw out of the Millennium Falcon. So I don't know. I'm stoked with it. Like the price is going to be kind of pricey, but it's kind of what you'd expect if you're staying on property for Disney.
Yeah. 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 Very true.
Any last thoughts, Ben, Danya, Gina?
I still wish that you could stay a little bit longer, because I feel like for a lot of people, it's going to be one of those one-off experiences just because of the cost. I can't imagine that, you know, there are going to be a lot of people. Because for me, for example, usually when I go to Disney, I stay way off-site because the it's cost cheaper of Disney... Yeah, mm-hmm. By, like, a long way. So for me, if I was to do this, it would be, like, a really special one-off kind of thing. So, I don't know, I would love the option to be able to stay a little bit longer. Mostly because I'd want to get, like, as much out of the experience as possible, but... Again, until we know, like, the full ins and outs of how, like, the experience plays out, then it's hard to know, like, if the time that they've allotted to it, which is, like, 2 nights, right? Maximum.
Yeah. And yeah. I agree with that. I was wondering if, like, you only are allowed 2 nights for, like, story reasons, like, because the immersion storyline is really centered around 2 nights, or if they're at this point just trying to quell how many nights you can hoard. And if you tried to get 4, maybe that could, like, it had to be an even number or something.
Yeah, I think that's probably what it more is something like, to keep it simple, like, because it is an immersive storyline, and they're going to have you, like, do, like, lightsaber training, and, like, there's all those things there. You can also make alliances with the First Order and the Resistance and everything. And I feel like if it's more than 2 nights, like, I don't know has anyone done a cruise? Like, my wife loves cruising, and my parents took us on one for their anniversary years ago. But the thing with the cruise ship, like, you go to multiple destinations and you get off the boat often. Like, if you're paying this much for a hotel that's essentially similar to, like, a cruise ship, there's got to be more stuff to do. And at least for me, like, when I was on a cruise ship, 90% of my time was lounging by the pool, and you're not really going to have that experience, even though it's in Florida, if you're in space. So I really think it's going to be more just like, this is a supplement to your extended Disney vacation, kind of like Daniel and I were kind of predicting it to be. And that's probably why it's 2 nights, or 2 nights total, so that way you can kind of experience it all, not feel like you're wasting any of your time, even though it's like a really cool experience. You still can experience the parks and everything else elsewhere at different hotels. But that is Star Wars, Galactic Star Wars. Oh. No, keep going. Yeah, if you have something.
Well, I was going to say, I think the 2-day thing is just part of the story, or the 3-day thing, 2-night thing. I've done a Disney cruise, and it is very, like, scheduled as to what you do. I did a short, like, 3-night about 2 years ago. But what it seems like on this one is there's going to be a type of story. You do your onboarding thing. There's going to be a takeoff celebration like they do on the Disney cruise ships. When you leave port, they do like a big party. It's going to be something similar to that. The first night, you're going to have probably a set dinner time and a set, you know, set kind of meal times or set activities for your group. That way everybody gets to do each section, because you'll be able to visit the bridge. You'll be able to go to like a secret area underneath to see how the ship works. But at some point on your 2-night itinerary, the First Order is going to commandeer your ship. And that becomes part of the story, depending on how you want to react to that. Are you going to join, you know, are you going to help the First Order? Are you going to help people with the Resistance? And what it is, it's that big story. So as far as the excursions to leave, I don't know that it's something you're going to do like when you dock in the Bahamas and leave for the day and then come back and take off at night. I think your 2-night, 3-day stays are going to be pretty well planned out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's why I said I think like docking and going to land is going to be like on your last days, like your exit essentially, where you land at Blackspire Outpost, and then from there you walk out of it and go into, you know, the Magic Kingdom, or I guess it's Hollywood Studios in Florida, and all the stuff's magically been moved to your new hotel room at Disneyland's whatever hotel or something you have there. So I'm sure it'll be all planned out, and they'll be able to make it easy for you to keep staying in the parks, but not in that specific hotel. Anyway, moving on. So obviously D23 talked to us about Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser. I'm super excited for it. We'll have to wait and see as we get closer to that when that will be opening. But we also have the Disney Plus panel that revealed a whole lot of stuff to us. A whole lot of stuff. And I'm going to try to keep it. We're going to just talk about the stuff. We're not going to dive deep into some of these things. But some of the big stuff that stood out to us here was Clone Wars. You know, one of my favorite things is we have Clone Wars returning, and they gave us a date that is returning. I was originally hoping that it would come out on the 12th of November when Disney Plus launches, but we know that Clone Wars is coming back February 2020. Dano or Danya, do you guys have any comments? I know you guys watched Clone Wars and followed it, and Dano, you were there.
I'm so excited! And I'm like even more excited, because just the whole Disney Plus concept in general, I wasn't too sold on it because I already subscribed to like multiple streaming platforms. So I was a little bit like, oh, another one. How am I going to find the money to do it? But like as more and more details have been coming out about it, and as they've added more and more content, and as they've kind of like announced more and more projects, and then the price dropped, I was like, oh, this is actually really affordable for what you're getting. So this, the Clone Wars coming back, and it coming back so soon, like, I'm pretty much sold already on, like, signing up for when it launches. I'm, like, ready to, like, throw my money at the stream, at Disney Plus, so I can get all of this. But specifically Clone Wars, I'm, oh, excited. I need it already in my life.
Yeah, I'm very excited for Clone Wars. Dano, any thoughts on Clone Wars coming back?
Oh, I'm stoked. I can't wait for it to come back. And I think it's going to be, because it's February, I think that might be when Resistance is wrapping up. And so there won't be too long without, you know, some kind of animated Star Wars feature.
That makes sense, because we learned last week we talked about that Resistance is only going to be two seasons long. So Resistance is ending after this next coming season. I saw the first episode of Resistance at Celebration, which I'm super excited for it to come back. You know, it took me a long time to get into Star Wars Resistance. Yeah, I'll be honest, the first 10 episodes, you're kind of like, I know it's going to get good because it's Star Wars, but it was definitely aimed at a younger audience.
Yeah, it's a slow burn.
But I'm super excited. You know, we saw the trailer for Resistance season 2, where it's got Kylo Ren and all the people back. So I definitely think that makes a lot of sense, where they're going to wrap up Resistance, then bring back another animated show, because they are aimed at kids. I'm actually most excited for it, because now that it's coming out in February, I have plenty of time to start my daughter on Clone Wars, and she can get through all 6 seasons before this one comes out, and it can be like a family night, like if it comes out. Does anyone know if Disney Plus is going to release everything like Netflix, where they just dump it all and you can binge watch it, or is it going to be week?
No, it's week to week. Yeah,
all right.
It's week to week.
I'm excited for that. I love week to week, because that makes me really excited, because that allows us to talk about our next favorite TV show that's coming to Disney Plus is K2 Fast, K2 Furious, a Cassian Andor story. Diego Luna and Alan Tudyk are teaming back up for a Cassian Andor prequel, which I'm super excited for, because you see both of them in Secrets of the Empire, which you instantly know that there's like a bigger story to play with that, and there's a bigger story with them. And I loved Cassian Andor from Rogue One. Like, who didn't love those two from Rogue One? But what do you guys think about this? Another Star Wars live action TV show.
I am super into the idea of learning more about Cassian Andor prior to Rogue One. Mostly because, particularly with Cassian, like, you get the sense that he got his hands really dirty in the name of the rebellion. And so there's a lot to explore there in terms of morality and what you're willing to do for a cause to keep other people's hands clean. It's very interesting that we could be getting like a series that really dives into that gray area of morality of what the rebellion actually was like under the surface. So it's just one of those shows that I think has a lot of potential, particularly when you've got like a streaming platform that can kind of range in terms of who this content is aimed at. So I don't know how far they could push that, or if they want to try and keep it more family friendly, but there is a lot of potential there for what they could do.
I agree completely. Especially they can also bring in a lot of other like Star Wars stuff. You know, we've already seen like Rebels obviously tie in like everything from Leia to you know, just different characters we know. And I think casting Andor one can definitely bring us some interesting tidbits that might be kind of fun for them to kind of crossplay. Like, I would love to see a General Syndulla and maybe even an Ezra live action, or even a Hera, you know, Sabine or something like that, that can open up the possibility for so many more things. And you know, they have the opportunity to do something like that. So I'm really excited to see where this one goes, because it plays within that time period of kind of the rebellion era. Any other thoughts, guys, on a prequel to Rogue One with Cassian Andor and K2?
Did they give a release date or time for this one?
This one we did not get anything. At least nothing that's been publicly released. They may have mentioned something at D23. Dano, I'm looking.
No, they just said that they're working on it. They didn't have a time frame or anything.
Yeah, this one's been rumored and talked about for a long time. And I know they, like I said, the Secrets of the Empire piece that they are kind of focal points for, that you're in on the experience. I know that they've mentioned that that is the beginning of a broader side with them. So, you know, when we talked about Secrets of the Empire when it came out, I was excited to see what else might come from them. So I think this is just the beginning of it. And I think they're trying to plan out everything so it fits into the broader storyline, Star Wars. But we'll have to wait and see. So Friday night, well, I guess it was Friday during the day in California, but Friday night, East Coast, the internet broke with the release of the first official non-leaked footage from The Mandalorian, and it debuted its first trailer. And I'm going to just stop there. What do you guys think of The Mandalorian?
Yep.
I am very stoked for Mandalorian. Like, especially after seeing the costume and everything this weekend in person. I was fortunate to be in the Disney Plus panel when they dropped all of this live. And I'm just stoked, man. It looks good. It looks like Rogue One good. You know? Like, there's something about the sequel trilogy has a different vibe and look to it. And I love those movies. But there's something about Rogue One that really nailed that gritty, old-school Star Wars vibe. And Mandalorian seems to fit with that really, really well. And I'm excited.
I think it
to
also, it has this very serious, like, Blade Runner-y kind of look to it as well. Like they're like, we're a TV show, we kind of push this a little further with that kind of mood. I don't know. I thought the trailer made it look like it was a super, like, this is a seriously dark and important TV show. So I like that about it.
Yeah, you know, one of my favorite things is I was asking about the streaming thing earlier. Is it going to be weekly or not weekly? Because I was talking about this with a couple friends over lunch one day, actually on Saturday, the day after it released, and we were talking about how, like, I really want it to be like Game of Thrones, in the sense that everyone watches it, like there's viewing parties for it, everyone watches it, and then that's all you talk about for the next week, is like what's gonna happen next. You're so excited for it, because this, it is, you know, I think because Favreau went on stage to talk a little bit more about what his original pitch was and everything, and we learned a lot of this at Celebration, so I don't want to rehash too much about it. You know, but it really comes down to, you know, this takes place during a period after Return of the Jedi, when the Empire's been destroyed. The New Republic really hasn't taken full on control. You know, it's the Old West, right? You know, it's the outlaw, and you know, he's this bounty hunter, which I think the words even say bounty hunting is a particularly peculiar business, and it's one of those things where it really is something where it can go any direction. You know, there's no laws, and he becomes the law wherever he goes, at least in his side. I also love that some of the characters, like, you know, Gina Carrico is going to be she's a former shock trooper for the rebellion. So she's like, you know, essentially the rebel version of the death troopers. So I'm really excited to see where all these different things kind of tie in. And just the fact that you see all these stormtroopers. I know, right? And all these like stormtroopers who are like the last bit of like some tyrants trying to cling to some type of power, like war, like almost warlords, if you will. Like, I'm so excited to see where this is going to go. It's going to be so epic. I don't know. Any other thoughts on this? On November 12th, what are we going to be doing?
There's going to be Jawas in this show. I don't know if you saw. I don't know if it was in the trailer or just in the pictures they had on the screen. But I'm really stoked that there's going to be Jawas.
That's the reason to tune in.
Yeah, it's all Jawas.
Yeah, well, that's the reason to tune in. Well, it's also really exciting to tune in because, you know, I know I mentioned this when we talked about in Celebration. I don't know if they mentioned it also. But, you know, it's one of those things where as Filoni and Favreau were doing this, or they were actually shooting it, they realized they didn't have enough stormtroopers. Like, they didn't have enough, like, background characters for certain things. And they didn't have, the production department didn't have the costumes. So they were going to hold production. And Filoni was just like, no, I know some people that have their own costumes they can bring in. And they invited a bunch of members of the 501st to come in. And Yeah, this was at the Mandalorian panel they talked about, but the 501st, and they actually, there's a picture they released at Celebration of a bunch of members of the 501st, like 20 members of the 501st that are actually in Mandalorian. Obviously, they signed NDAs and everything like that. And what's really funny is, you know, these guys take so much pride in, like, making their costumes and trying to be as screen accurate as possible. And Filoni made a comment, like, I wonder if any of these guys realize that now all their costumes are screen accurate because they're all used in The Mandalorian. And it's really funny. It's because one of these guys I was friends with, you know, it's all the California group. But one of these guys I was friends with, you know, he's just done film stuff and went to college with. And he's like, oh, I got to build a new kit. And no one really knew what it was. I said, what happened? Did you break something? He's like, no, just I'm retiring it. And this was months before Celebration and stuff like that. So you never really thought anything about it. But as soon as I saw that photo at Celebration, everyone's like, that's Todd. We all know what happened. Like, he's retiring because that's the one he used in the TV show. But yeah, so you definitely know that, like, they've pulled in resources everywhere to give it that lived-in feel that is Star Wars. Because when you think of, like, Galaxy's Edge and you know, when you see of like the marketplace on Tatooine and, you know, even on, you know, Takodana and Mos Eisley Cantina, like, there's so many background characters and everything, and it feels like it's real. Like, it doesn't feel like, oh, they just put some, you know, characters in there to kind of fill the space, but it feels like it's real. And this one, as they were looking at it, they realized we didn't have enough background. They didn't have enough of the things that would make it feel real. So they called in all resources they can get to get it. And I'm so excited because it's going to feel authentic, like Star Wars that you'd expect. Right.
I know that the last time that I was on, like, we were talking about The Mandalorian, but I was also saying, like, you know, it's really hard to kind of get really hyped up because we hadn't seen anything. Even though, like, in concept, it sounded amazing, it was really hard to, like, get really into it because there, like, everyone was talking about, like, having seen footage, but it was like taking other people's word for it.
Yeah, and that's what, and it was hard to, like, you don't want to, like, rub it in their face. Like, for me, I was kind of like, oh man, but you don't understand how cool it was. Like,
yeah, now I get it, because I was like, you know, a lot of the people who were saying, like, oh my god, it's gonna be amazing, it looks so good, and, you know, like Dano was saying, like, it really captures that old Star Wars feeling. A lot of people that I really trust their opinions were saying that, but I was like, but I want to see it for myself. And now I'm like 100% on board, kind of like, yes, I get it now. This actually does look incredible. It just took forever to get to the point where everyone got to see footage, but I'm so glad that we did. So glad, because I'm super into it. I'm really excited to see what they do with it.
Yeah, I think the last bit of news I want to talk about with Mandalorian is Ming-Na Wen has joined the cast of Mandalorian. I don't know if this is for season 1 or season 2, because I know season one is wrapped and they're all in post for it. But she has joined the cast of Mandalorian, and I'm kind of excited to see her because she, you know, one, I loved her in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and everything she's been in. She's just an awesome character, so I'm kind of excited to see what she'll do with the Mandalorian and what kind of character she'll be. First thoughts, any of you guys read the comics? First thoughts, as soon as it was announced, I got messages saying, like, please be Dr. Aphra. So, it would be one of those things that would be really cool to have that character jump from the comics to a screen. I don't know. Any thoughts on this casting?
I mean, same as you. I love Ming-Na Wen. Like, she... a huge crush on her, and I always have. Like, she's amazing. I love everything that she does. So, for starters, just really genuinely excited to see her in another property that I already love. You know, just going from strength to strength, and you just know whoever she's playing, whatever role she's got, she's gonna absolutely kill it. Because she's just so good at pretty much everything she turns her hand to. So, I am here for it, whoever she's playing. I'm not even fussed. I'm like, yeah, she could be whoever. I'm just like, yes, just bring it on already.
I completely echo that entire sentiment. And I'm just, again, really glad that we have more BA women that are going to be... hopefully focal. We don't know if she's a focal point, but like, strong women in Star Wars is like, I need
nothing
more.
But a good
I
thing.
Want all of them. Yes.
It's all good. It's all good. Like, I love it. It's a good thing. So we'll have to wait and see. I'm pretty sure she's going to be season two of Mandalorian. Speaking of working on season two and scripts already being done, all I can say is hello there. Also at D23, the crowd erupted in cheers and leaped out of their seats to give none other than Ewan McGregor a standing ovation. Daniel, were you there when he walked out on stage?
Yeah, I was. It was really cool.
Okay, I can hear it in your voice already. Like, I can hear the smile on his face. Like, yeah, I don't know if you guys can hear it, but like, he smiled. So tell us a little bit about that before we get into the news part of it.
It was actually how they ended it. They had done the Mandalorian. They were, like, wrapping up, and they're like, oh, you know what? Kathleen Kennedy came out. She's like, oh, we've got one more thing. We got a special guest we want you guys to see. And he came out, and they put a picture of Obi-Wan on the screen, and they said, you know, we've been waiting for 4 years to say anything, but we can come out and say it now that we are working on it. It's a thing. There will be an Obi-Wan show, and it'll be on Disney+.
Yes.
It was short and sweet. It was short and sweet. Now, there was a missed opportunity for him to come out and say hello there. He really should have.
He really should have. I agree with you. It's kind of like when Ian McDiarmid walked out on stage and just said roll it again for the trailer. Like, they do a really good job of just having like that one more thing for the fans. And I think Ewan McGregor is perfect. Just because Kenobi has been one of those things where, like, was it a movie? You know, people were saying it's going to be a movie. It's not going to be a movie. It got canned. You know, the standalone movies, all these things. But good news is the entire first season scripts are done. It's going to be placed 8 years after the events of Revenge of the Sith. And the crew is ready to start shooting next year, so in 2020. So my guess is probably sometime in February they'll actually start shooting. And it'll probably be released late 2020, like fall of 2020, early 2021 for the series. I wouldn't be surprised if this is to tie in with like season two of Mandalorian, like be released at the same time next year, just so that way you can watch Star Wars multiple days. And will also be next year will be the first year without a Star Wars film during the winter period. So it'd be nice to have Star Wars TV shows for that. Any thoughts on an Obi-Wan series?
Yes.
I've never wanted to see more.
I approve.
You approve.
So much approval of this.
I will say, the internets are already abuzz with a special Darth Maul, or Maul miniseries too, that is supposed to happen. I don't know if there's any credence to that, or if that's just fans being crazy. But if you look at the... you know, they've released a timeline where all these things take place. This takes place during the time of Solo. So I'm convinced this is going to deal with like We know Obi-Wan doesn't face Maul. Like, we just know that happens. Like, that happens in Rebels. They're not going to break the continuity storyline for Rebels with this. But we know he's on Tatooine watching over Luke. I wouldn't be surprised if there's some Crimson Dawn type stuff going on with the Hutts that Obi-Wan has to interfere with, and it's more like him playing a peacemaker slash protecting the Lars slash Obi slash Luke slash himself from the Hutts and the gangsters and stuff that we know is on Tatooine. I think that's, you know, exciting enough. And if there was a Maul one, it would probably dive with more of a Kira and Crimson Dawn thing just to tie all the story pieces together. Any thoughts on kind of where those would be?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'd kind of agree with that because it makes a lot of sense in terms of the timeline, like you said. But again, I'm like endlessly fascinated about how they're going to make this work. Only because, like you said, you know, at this point of time, like, he was mostly just looking over Luke. Like, he was just making sure that, you know, he stays safe and he stays out of, like, anyone's kind of periphery of, like, oh, what's going on there? Like,
so this show is 4 hours of him making tea.
I mean, chilling. You've seen Ewan McGregor. I would, like, unbelievably watch that. Like, you know, the mundane life of Obi-Wan Kenobi. Like, I'd watch that. You know, he goes out, like he does his groceries.
Yeah, just like, we're like a two-camera sitcom or something.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. That'd be fun. Anyway, before we get into the last bit, the elephant in the room, just because, again, we want to keep this episode to something that makes sense. The Bantha in the room, yeah. There was one more first look that was released actually today by Disney Parks blog of Rise of the Resistance, the ride that is going to be happening opening December 5th at Disney Hollywood Studios and January 17th at Disneyland Park in California. The Rise of the Resistance is the second ride. One of two rides in Galaxy's Edge, which I do know is, there's been a lot of conversation, like, what do you like better? You know, people have asked me, what do you like better? Do you like, you know, Universal's Hogwarts and Harry Potter? Do you like the Star Wars? You know, I love both. But, you know, Galaxy's Edge is amazing, and I think the immersion is something I absolutely love, and it's Star Wars, and you just love it. Downsides to it, you can't wear costumes where you can in, like, you know, in Harry Potter. But there's only one ride, and that is one limitation. You know, when you go to an amusement park or theme park, you kind of want those rides. But looking at Rise of the Resistance and all the rumors we've gotten from it makes me really, really excited. Star Wars Rise of the Resistance will be one of the most ambitious, advanced, and immersive experience ever undertaken by Walt Disney Imagineering. The attraction is also one of the largest Disney has ever created. It's a massive show building a world unto itself, including two full-size AT-AT walkers and a Star Destroyer hangar bay, complete with a TIE fighter and a garrison of stormtroopers, plus lots more thrills and surprises. Just thinking about, you know, two full-size AT-AT walkers, this Star Destroyer hangar bay with a life-size TIE fighter, and all these stormtroopers just, like, there as you kind of roll through in this cart. I posted a picture on Patreon and also on, I think, my Facebook or something like that, of the cart that you ride in Rise of the Resistance. They had it at Galaxy at a Celebration, and, you know, we took a picture inside of it, and I think it looks really cool. But it's supposedly, this ride is almost 30 minutes long, like the attraction itself, not the line to get into it, but, like, once you get into it, it's like a 30-minute journey. The only thing I can think of, and Dano, I know you go to Disneyland a lot, so maybe you can chime in on this, and Danya, I know you've been to Disney a couple times, but only thing I can think of is this is maybe be something like Haunted Mansion, where, like, you start your journey by going down the elevator, but it's, like, part of the ride, and then you go through a house, and then you get on the buggy. I feel like it might be something like this, if it's 30 minutes long.
That's exactly what it is. That's what the full time is. You go into a transport ship. Like, you go past Poe's Black X-Wing, but prior to that, there's, like, a pre-show, which is when you would really start the clock. There's a pre-show, they give you your mission, you physically, like, go across, where the X-Wing is, you get into a transport ship, which would be, like, the elevator for Haunted Mansion, where it looks like it's moving, but it's really not, and this is what takes you up into space, where you end up in the Star Destroyer hangar, and now you're in the ride. But, you know, that first section probably took 7 minutes to do. And then you do another you know, 10 or so minutes of actual ride. You get captured by the First Order while on this thing, and then you escape. So there's multiple phases to it. It's not just a typical, like, ride. It's more of a interactive, immersive experience, which is going to be one of these things that steps up everybody's game in the theme park world, because Universal's going to come at it next with, like, okay, Disney, we saw you did that. We're going to raise you. And it's just, it's going to be cool. But the 28-minute thing, I'm hearing a lot that those are, that's a heavily exaggerated time period. But factoring in all the different phases, it could be somewhere close to like 20-ish.
Okay. But that's still really long for a ride. When you think that,
oh, yeah.
Know,
oh, yeah.
Even like Pirates of the Caribbean is one of the longer rides because you sit on this barely moving boat looking at all the animatronics, and that clocks in at 12 minutes sometimes when it's full up. So that just seems, I'm just looking at the picture that they released with that TIE fighter mounted on the wall. It doesn't even look very big, but when they say it's a full size one, that's at least 15 meters. So that this just shows you the scale of this thing here. Obviously from the perspective of the picture that they show. Any thoughts on the picture? You do see a Star Destroyer outside the viewport of the Star Destroyer that you're on. It just looks awesome to me. Anything else?
I like, it just drives me crazy that this ride wasn't ready for when the park opened. Does that make sense? Because it's kind of like, there's something crazy about the fact that it's like, you've got this huge thing, and now, like, you're like staggering it out. Like, something like this should really have been ready to go for the launch of the whole park.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, the thing is, with like, I get it. I'm kind of glad they opened it up before. That way, you know, for those, I think California is probably more unique than anything, because 50% of the traffic that Disneyland gets is locals. And I know Dano is not local to California, but he's local enough to where I'm sure you have a pass, right?
Yeah, I do have an annual pass now.
Yeah, so, it's one of those things where it's people that are going to visit multiple times. So it makes sense to be able to experience it now. They can learn the kinks and kind of figure all that out. And I think that's also why they're finishing Florida and the ride so close together. Like, Florida and everything's opening up much closer together. Because, Florida Park opens in 2 days. And the Rise of the Resistance opens up in December there. Whereas, even though California was done first, Rise of the Resistance opens up later in January of next year. So I think it's a matter of just them saying, like, okay, let's get the cast in there, figure out the kinks and stuff like that before we add this other huge part to the park, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Well, remember those pictures going around early last year of, like, the Falcon and the Photoshop crowds in front of it? And it was all this, oh, this is what Galaxy's Edge is going to look like on opening day.
Yeah.
That put the fear in Disney, and Disney's like, oh, shoot, so many people are seeing that and sharing it and spreading it, and people are saying, oh, I'm going to wait. I'm not going to go. I'm going to wait. I'll wait a year till the crowds die down. It mostly because those images and thoughts like that. So they spread out the release. They said, you know what, we're going to soft open. But we're, instead of not saying we're soft opening, we're going to roll out reservations and really temper that, you know, how it comes out. And I think it was actually really smart that they did it that way. Because now all the people like myself who can go, all the locals, like you're saying, who go all the time, we've already been. So that now when it opens, it's like, cool, we just have to focus on the one attraction. And that's fine. Instead of having to do all of it at once, in one go, if the whole thing just did one big grand opening, I actually appreciate the slow rollout.
Yeah, and I'm excited because, it's going to be one of those things where even though I've done California, I'm going to be going to Florida right after Rise of Resistance opens, even though I want to experience all of it. I don't know if you guys have seen side-by-side pictures. The color palette of Florida is different than the color palette of California. Some of the people are saying that the reason the color palette is different is because of the weather in Florida. It rains more often and stuff like that, that things weather quicker, so they've made it more vibrant. So that way, they won't have to paint it as often. Whereas in California, because it's so dry, it stays. They can weather it the way they wanted to, have it actually look. But I'm more excited just to see the one thing I haven't seen. And then obviously there's differences throughout the park and the land. So I'm going to experience those. But I think they did okay with it. I really do wish it was all open, but I understand a business reason and just logistically why they would have done it. Plus, like, if you have a park almost done, business-wise, like, is it worth, like, not having it open when you know you can make extra money doing it?
Yeah, it, like, would have been crazy to sit on it from all summer until December.
And yeah, like, yeah. Like, I get it from a business side. Well, let's go ahead and go into the Bantha in the room. We got a look at D23 of Rise of Skywalker. So a couple significant things to jump into first before we talk about the footage. Because obviously there's some really cool footage, is we got a brand new poster. And that poster was released on Friday before the footage was released and shown. First thoughts on this poster, for me, it's exactly what I wanted it to be. It's amazing. I think it's awesome. Having the Emperor's laugh from the very beginning teaser trailer and having him so prominent in this art teaser poster just makes me, like, so excited and happy. What are you guys' thoughts on this Rise of Skywalker teaser poster for December 20th?
I thought it was a fan poster, actually, the first time I saw it, because it only has the title of the movie and the release date at the bottom, and it doesn't have, like, the studio info and stuff. So I was like, oh, that's so cool, but, like, is it real? And then I actually had to look it up in several spots to confirm that it's legitimate, but I really, really like it, because I think early on in the process of talking about the movie, he was, you know, J.J. Abrams was saying stuff like, we want to tie together all the trilogies and everything, and I was like, I feel like Palpatine's the best way to tie everything together, because he's in both trilogies so far, so to have him come back is really cool. And the lightning is amazing, too.
Yeah, I do like the lightning and lighting of it all. What do you guys think, Danya? Gina?
I similarly thought that, to start with, because I was only kind of like half online, because I was traveling. So I was a little bit like, oh, is that the actual poster, or is it a fan poster? Because at this point we've seen so many fan posters and people, like, thinking up things for what it could look like. And it was, like, it was still really well done. I'm not saying it in a way that, like, it doesn't look like an official piece of artwork. It was just like, oh, this is really interesting. But I really like it. I don't know, there's just something about, like, the composition of it and the colors and just everything. It feels like a culmination. Like, that's what I felt with this poster. It feels like where this trilogy has been going the whole time. So, yeah, I don't know. I liked it.
I agree. And actually, I just posted something in the chat. One of the things that has been popped up on the internet, and it makes sense to me, is on the poster you see Rey and Kylo Ren fighting, and they're on this who knows what, but it really looks a lot like the Emperor's throne room from the second Death Star, which, if you look at the outside of the throne room, there's a spire at the Emperor's tower, if you will. There's even a Wikipedia entry just for it specifically. But it's the Emperor's Tower. It's where it's the uppermost northern hemisphere of the second Death Star, which is why the Emperor was able to look out and see everything and kind of show Luke everything that was there. And it looks like they are literally fighting on the throne room from the second Death Star. What do you guys think about that, just on the poster? Do you think that's actually what they're on, or...?
I mean, if we're assuming that they're fighting in that ocean where we saw the Death Star in the first trailer, that connects the dots pretty easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in the new teaser trailer, you can see, or sizzle reel, whatever it is, where the water's crashing and they're fighting, you can see one of the turbo laser batteries off to the side.
Yeah.
Just like in that photo.
So I'm wondering if this is where we'll see more about the Emperor, like maybe his ghost or something haunts it. Well, I don't know. But I love that, you know, and I think this poster probably is more revealing than a lot of people give it credit for, especially when you see this, like, spirit, force ghost, if you will, of the Emperor, and then, like, see where they're fighting.
Does anyone else think he looks a little cartoony?
Yeah, so actually, I'm trying to find it.
I thought he was animated. I thought he was the animated one from Rebels. I was like, what?
What if he is?
Yeah. No, it's not the animated one from twist. Rebels. There's actually, it's the Hot Toys Palpatine that was used for the artwork. there it is. I have the exact photo for you guys to see. There it is. I'm going to show it. But yeah, so for anyone who follows Star Wars toys and memorabilia, there is a brand from Japan called Hot Toys. And they make some amazing looking graphics and amazing looking things. But the artist who made the Rise of Skywalker one actually admitted to using this as, if you guys see the picture, you can see it's all superimposed and everything highlights, but using this figure as what was his inspiration for the background. So it's obviously still based on Ian McDiarmid, but it is definitely, was based off the toy. So it does look a little cartoonish and almost a little fake. But the Hot Toys, you know, figure looks really freaking awesome for a toy figure, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But, so speaking of the poster and the release there, we then got an amazing first, a special look. So a D23 special look. So it's not called a sizzle reel. It's not called a trailer. It's a special look from D23 of the Rise of Skywalker. And you know, and I don't want to do a scene by scene breakdown, cause I feel like if we do that, this episode will be like 2 hours long, especially since we didn't give that to Mandalorian trailer. That will be for our next episodes. We could do it. I mean, just not this week.
We could also skip like the first minute of the look because it's all stuff we.
But could we? Could we really?
I don't know. Assuming anybody listening has seen the other 8 episodic movies, which I really hope you have.
Well, I do want to tie in a couple things there. So the first bit, which Ben says we can skip over. I don't think you can because that's where you actually have Luke saying something that I think really sets up the trailer and kind of what I would say for the show for the special footage is Luke is saying we've passed on all we know. 1,000 generations live in you now, but this is your fight. And I think that sets up kind of where we're at here. You know, from The Last Jedi, love it, hate it, whatever you think of it. I think Luke did a great job of kind of providing the spark to reignite the rebellion, the resistance spirit, by kind of holding the First Order back so that Rey can be the one to kind of light the torch and take it the next step with the resistance. And that's it. This is their fight. This is the new trio's fight, and it's no one else's fight. You know, that's why Luke couldn't come back and save the day. It had to be them. And it's showing on all the footage from the past movies. And I also like that it didn't do chronological order. Did anyone else notice that it was footage from the first three films? Yeah, it was the original three films, and then it did the prequels.
So that confirms the machete order is the way to go.
I think it's a release order because they didn't do it that way. Well, actually, no, because they did do a shot of what do you call it, Vader, which is Revenge of the Sith later on towards the end of it. So, you know, regardless, I definitely think that they did a good job of kind of showing it in order that I think would probably resonate most with most fans. But before we get to any of the new footage, like, did anyone have any emotions watching the original, like the older footage?
So many. How many all feelings? So many.
Every feeling. All of them.
Everything you can think of.
Yeah, all of them at once. Yes. I felt them all at the same time. I got very choked up and very emotional. And then by the time we got into, like, the new footage stuff, I was basically like, well, hold on, I'm going to have to pause to compose myself because I'm just having too many feelings right now. You can't just hit me with that and then be like, and here's some new stuff. It's like, how dare you?
I will say this, like, what I loved about it, obviously, it kind of, like, encapsulates the entire saga. You know, this is a 9-movie saga. You know, it spanned 40-plus years, right? You know, it's one of those things where, like, the footage kind of set the tone for everything. And you also have, like, a new Luke. You know, Luke Skywalker from The Last Jedi, that Luke, talk about, you know, what he's saying. It's like, we pass on all we know. We kind of know where they're at. But it's your fight. And then it goes into, like, this new footage. Like, for me, I love that it started with, like, Luke Skywalker on Tatooine. which is where the story started, right? You know, it started on Tatooine, mm-hmm. a farm boy dreaming of what's out there, and then it just shows everything.
It actually kind of starts with Leia, but I agree with
Does it start with Leia? I thought the very beginning was the first shot was the twin sons.
Well, yes. I mean, the movies start with Leia, but yes.
Oh, yeah, yes. You're right. The movies start with Leia. Yes. You're right. The movie starts with Leia, but the trailer starts with Luke. And, you know, and not to diminish Leia by any means, but, you know, I think A New Hope is clearly the hero's journey, and you're meant to follow Luke, whether Luke is a favorite character of yours or not. He's mine, which I think is why I was so angry with The Last Jedi at the beginning. Because he had a beard, and that's not my Luke of the future, but that, you know, that's besides the point. He never had a beard in the EU. Anyway, moving on. But yeah, no, I think before we got to any of the new footage, I think it really set the tone for what you're going to be looking at. And then it obviously goes to the black and then ties into what I would say would be another trailer. Because, you know, it's another 45 seconds after all the previous footage. It's saying this Christmas, and then it goes into a new trailer. And honestly, I think this is probably the best footage we've seen so far, because finally we get to see a shot of Leia in it, which makes me really excited. I don't know if you guys saw that as like the third shot of the new footage. Leia on a planet that's very lush and green. She's wearing an outfit from The Force Awakens, which, you know, that's what they did. So it definitely looks like they did some CGI work, not with her character, but with the background footage to place her where they wanted to place her, if that makes sense. But I mean, like, as soon as I saw her, I got all choked up going, oh my gosh, this is Carrie's last film ever. And they even talked about, you know, her being on screen, like she's such an important role, not just to the saga as a whole, but like to this movie. What do you guys think of the new footage as we get into it? Like, anything that stood out to you? I put some notes down, but...
Oh, yeah. C-3PO going into kill mode.
Insta-kill?
Yeah. That it was is, cool.
I have feelings about C-3PO, but...
Well, let's talk a little about 3PO, because 3PO has red eyes. And I will say this, we talked about this, you know, months ago, that the toy rumor was that C-3PO was going to have a blaster. He's got red eyes now. He doesn't have red arms, he's got red eyes. What do you guys think that can mean?
Was that not on a poster, though, where he had the bow?
Yeah, it was a poster, but I know they talked about the toy figure coming with a blaster. We have seen 3PO shoot a blaster before in Attack of the Clones. It may not have been his head and his body, or it was his body and a different head, but we have seen him fire a blaster before. So I'm wondering if they've done, like, he's coming up from like a little like Vader-esque chair. I'm wondering if they kind of did like reprogram. He's not just a protocol droid anymore. He's like a protocol assassin droid. I don't know. I'm kind of excited to see what 3PO can do with these red eyes, or if it's just, you know, another misdirection thing that, you know, Abrams loves to do.
I think he's been uploaded with some new information that a protocol droid
something
have.
To keep.
Yeah.
I will tell you, one of the scenes that made me most excited for was the return of just seeing all the Resistance ships jumping out of lightspeed, and seeing, you know, the B-wings and Y-wings again, and the Krillian corvettes. I don't know about you guys, but like, that was just something that for me was just like, oh my gosh, like, this is freaking awesome. Just seeing this huge, you know, this armada of Resistance, and then the next shot being this scary, I mean, like, honestly, it was scary with like the storm. I don't think they're in the same shot, because one is like super bright and sunny and the other one's like dark and storming, but like this shot of like Star Destroyers in rows just waiting to like be called upon.
I think both of them, yeah, I agree, they're probably not in the same location, but they're both so well lit. Like, I want a poster of both of them.
Yes, I'll agree with you on this. Posters over your couch of like,
yeah,
both
basically.
Scenes. Yes.
I will say this: the Star Destroyers, if you dug into the picture at all, I've looked at it quite a bit, and I've had a lot of conversation about it. They are definitely
stuck with me.
They are Empire style Star Destroyers. They're not First Order style Star Destroyers. Okay. And if
is there going to be time travel like in Endgame?
I don't think so, but we do know, we you know, taking what we know about Sith Trooper and Red, like the Emperor's Guard, I'm wondering if this is like part of, you know, Operation Cinder, where a bunch of like the Empire moved to the Outer Rim or to the unknown regions, and now they're returning.
That would be so epic that I would probably die in the theater.
This whole fleet, you know, just I just had this one prepared already, you know.
Well, you know, and you know, it's funny, is, you know, we've had, you know, there's books that are like this, you know, when you look at like the, you know, the new canon takes a lot of the EU. There's things like the Black Fleet Crisis and stuff like that, where there were ideas of this, like stories of this, legends of this, if you will. You know, so it could be something like that. I will say what's interesting though, and it's hard to see like in the trailer. The only reason I will bring this up is because I went back and forth for probably a half an hour about this with someone. Is, I know, and if he's listening to this, he'll know exactly who he is talking about. There appears to be a red line or red edging on the outside of the ships of the Star Destroyers. Very simply. Thank you. You know what I'm talking about, Gina. There's red edging, very similar to what you saw in Attack of the Clones on the Republic ships, but these are obviously Empire style Star Destroyers, which we also know the red from the Sith Trooper. So I feel like these are like Palpatine's private Star Destroyers that he sent off into the unknown region. And we do know that he had a Grand Admiral that is canon that, you know, navigated the unknown region and talked to him regularly about it. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is something from there. Maybe it's also a vision and it's just like, you know, canon fodder. But I'm super excited for this. Like, this made me just jump out of my seat looking at it. I had to watch this like way too many times. What else, guys? What like, again, I don't want to go scene by scene, but is there any other scenes about this that just made you like jump out and just be like, oh, we have to talk a little about this today?
I thought it was interesting how much they put in of the prequels, since they're not everyone's favorite. They're not, I would probably say, most people's favorite. I thought it was interesting how they did touch on them. And, like, the first touchstone you see from the prequels is Darth Maul, whom we've recently revisited in Solo. So I thought that was fascinating that he's the first, like, pull you back in of that trilogy.
Yeah, that's true. Before Obi-Wan, before Qui-Gon, which, you know, and I'll be honest with you, the scenes from the prequels in the trailer, you know, are very kind of, especially the ones from Phantom Menace, are very expected from Phantom Menace. It's the shot of, you know, Maul, and then it's Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan. You know, young Anakin and his mom saying goodbye, then to Attack of the Clones. And, you know, and really, Attack of the Clones is probably the one that's got the least. It's got Anakin and Padme at the wedding at the very end of the film. And the ships from Attack of the Clones at the very end of it. It's like, you know, Attack of the Clones doesn't have as much in the you know, D23 special look. You get quite a bit of Revenge of the Sith, everything from Mace Windu, which is interesting, you know, threatening the Emperor or the Senator, you know, Chancellor at the time, Vader in Scars, you know, My New Empire, and then it goes straight into, you know, the new stuff from, you know, Force Awakens and Last Jedi. So, you know, I agree, like, the fact that Maul was in there, just such a prominent spot, does stand out as a little something odd, but I think it's meant to kind of tie everything together, if anything. I will say, speaking of Maul and the really cool lightsaber effect, there was one really cool lightsaber thing that I was super excited for when I saw, is Rey is like maybe training or, I don't know, fighting in the forest, and she throws her lightsaber and it cuts a tree, and then she calls it back with the Force. I don't know if you guys caught that. That's like one of the coolest things I've ever seen on screen, because they've been able to do that in like video games forever, but you've never seen a Jedi or anyone do that. I think like it just makes perfect sense. Like, obviously you have this lightsaber that's not a ranged weapon, but like, come on, like, throw it. Like, that makes perfect sense. Like, have it spin and then call it back. You have the Force. Like, I thought that was the coolest thing. One of the coolest things in this sizzle trailer. Anyone else caught that or thought?
Yeah, no. What's interesting in that scene is if you slow it down and like go frame by frame, she's throwing it at a training remote.
Yes. Like the one Luke had.
A red and silver training remote just beyond the tree, and that's what she's throwing it at. So I wonder what, like, I don't know, maybe she's learning some new skills right there.
Yeah, you're right. I didn't even notice the training remote there. I was so focused on the tree and the saber being thrown around. But yeah, it's a red and silver training remote, and then she calls it back.
One thing I wanted to point out, that scene where Poe, Rey, and Finn kind of go around the corner in the desert, is that that looks like an end celebration. That reminds me of the end of Return of the Jedi, where you see, you know, Cloud City, and you see Endor, and you see Coruscant, and they're doing their big celebration. That's what that looks like. It's around the 1 minute mark. It's like 1 minute, 16 seconds.
Some of the very first footage of the, it does look like that.
There's even like a firework that pops. It's like a big smoke.
The firework on the right side.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if that's at the end or if it's at the beginning. I don't know. I have this weird feeling. And I said this before, is like the first trailers and everything we saw for, Force Awakens, everything we saw in the trailers was within the first 20 minutes of the film. So that's true. Had no clue what's going on. I have a feeling everything we've seen so far and everything that we're going to see is within the first 20 minutes again. So
even that way, Starkiller? Like, looks like whatever Starkiller, whatever it is.
Whatever that planet-destroying blast is. Yeah, I think everything here is like super early, and that way like we fans can't dive too deep into it. Yeah. Because every theory for Force Awakens was so far off. Everything was just so ridiculous.
Even that fight, though, on the Death Star?
Because remember, if Palpatine is like a big part of this, like I feel like this fight might need to be fairly early on, which is the pivot to everything, you know? So I think we've agreed that this fight is on the Death Star. So that's obviously really important here. It looks really cool. You see the gun turret, the water splashing. I want to know how they get there, but I think the last bit, and we're not going to dive too deep into this other than maybe gut theories, because I've seen Danya talk about it on Social Network. I've talked about it. I know Daniel's talked about it. Gina, I've seen everyone's post about it so far, except Ben so far, is after all that, we hear Vader's breathing. You hear the Emperor say, "Your journey nears its end," and we see a vision of Rey, or a version of Rey, with two lightsabers across her face, and then it pans out and the bottom saber swings down to make it a dual bladed staff lightsaber a la Darth Maul, kind of like what Gina brought up earlier. What do you guys think of this? Like, we're just gonna very quick brief, and then we're gonna end on this, and then we'll talk about this in much more detail next week. So what do you guys think of this vision of Dark Rey, or this version of Dark Rey,
clone and or actual vision? Like, that's it. Like, those are the only two options, because for me, if it is an actual, genuine, she turns to the dark side, it undercuts so much of the story that they've had so far in, like, a way that would really undermine the entire trilogy for me.
Okay. Anyone else?
I think clone as well. It's just, it'd be a good callback to the prequel trilogy with the cloning tech. We know the Emperor's dabbled in some cloning kind of stuff, and she looks different. And I know Sith, like, it, typically in, like, video games, Knights of the Old Republic, the more Sith you go, the more your character changes and gets, like, more, you know, bigger cheekbones and, like, his eyes sink in. She looks a little bit like that. If she looks like Sigourney Weaver in Alien, in that little brief scene, I think it's either a clone. It's got to be a clone. It's got to be just like a weird Rey clone, because she just looks too different to me.
See, for me, I personally feel like my first feeling when I saw this, like the very first time, I was like, this has to be like when Luke faced his dark side in Empire Strikes Back, when he faced Vader, and after he defeated it, you see that it was actually him in the Vader costume. I just posted something in Discord, guys, where it's really normal for a Jedi to face their own inner dark side. Yoda faced his in Clone Wars, and could this be Rey facing hers? You know, we saw a little bit of this in The Last Jedi, where Rey felt the dark side, and Luke was scared, and he said, "You should be scared," but she wasn't. And she kind of saw a reflection of herself, but she didn't see any dark, you know, she saw the dark kind of thing calling to her, but she didn't actually see anything. And I'm almost wondering if this is that. At least that would make a lot of sense, especially if what we're seeing is within the first 20 minutes of the film. This could be her confronting herself to make her decision to stay within the light, and that would stay within her story arc without breaking it too much and stuff like that. I don't know. That was just my first thought with it. But definitely, clone is a very possible reason, which is something I would see because tie back to the Attack of the Clones and what we've seen. I don't know. I'm thinking it's this, but there is also that chance that she can fall, and this could be the start of a whole new trilogy that's not Skywalker-based.
I hope it's not just a vision. I hope...
Just a vision. Okay.
I know. Like... I see her training in the dark, but I see her going to the light. So,
I can't imagine Rey falling. So I agree with you. Like I can't imagine Rey falling to the dark.
They're gonna ruin this for every little girl that's ever dressed up as Rey. There's no way. But
no, I agree. Well, I think it also ties to when you look at like Galaxy's Edge. The Resistance side has like Rey and Chewbacca.
Mm-hmm.
You can't imagine, like, after this movie, Rey is now on the First Order side, like, the dark side, you know, but, characters like, for it.
She's already made that choice as well, which is, like, you know, that was, like, a huge part of The Last Jedi is her choosing between standing by Kylo's side or doing what she believes is right. And that doesn't necessarily mean the side of the Jedi. It could be, like, her own side, or like a something in between, but she's already made like that's that core kind of like push and pull, choosing your side thing. Like that culmination, that climax has already happened. To then walk that back kind of just undermines the entire thing. Like it undermines that character arc. You've already set up that purpose and that kind of core. Like, this is what she believes in, and this is what she's going to do. Like, even just that final moment where she basically closes the door of the Falcon and, like, shuts Kylo out. Like, that was such a strong statement that walking the entire thing back just doesn't... Like, it wouldn't make any sense to me at all. Like, trying to, like, write your way out of that is just... It would be dumb. Well,
I would say, like, I agree that she chose not to go with Kylo, but I think Kylo is also a flawed character, where he's not, like, pure evil, in the sense. Like, he's been conflicted the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
But, so, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see how this is.
I mean, murder's also bad.
Yeah, but, you know, it split him to his soul. You know, split him to his core. You know, Snoke even said that. So, you know, and there was conflict in him from the beginning, kind of like Vader was conflicted the whole time. There's still good in him and being able to be redeemed in the end. Not to say that, like, his actions are good by any means, but it's conflict all the way through.
But that's the thing, is that you can have conflict in you and choose to be good. You can have conflict in you and choose to still continue to be bad. And Kylo is, it's cool motive, but still murder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll see where this goes. We'll break this down in a bit. Any last thoughts before we close out, guys?
No.
All right. So Rey's got a double-bladed lightsaber, which is what I think everyone's been wanting for a long time. Just maybe not the one we wanted. Anyway.
I think it's a trap.
It's a trap. Yeah. Maybe. But remember, Ackbar's dead, so he can't say it.
Leia said that first, Mikey.
That's true. She said that was on Empire. You're right. Anyway, thank you all for listening to another episode of Resistance Radio. Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at @rradiopodcast or on Facebook at facebook.com/resistanceradiopodcast. Remember to visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/resistanceradiopodcast. And as always, I'm Mikey B.
I'm Danya.
I'm Ben.
I'm Dano.
And I'm Gina.
And may the Force be with you.
And also with you.